Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, guys. It is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Yeah.
But didn't know about it. Your time's up, I done touched down. I'm high stepping for the touchdown. I stay repping for the slums where the young bucks huddle loaded up.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the AFC South Fan Battle Podcast. I'm your host tonight, Matthew Briggs, and I am joined by my colleagues. We'll start off with our Titans commentator, all the way from each y'all in the NSA. Lockdown, Mr. Agent Ha. Uh-huh.
What's up? Big night for Zach Wilson's mom.
She's got it going on. still pick up the tears left there in Buffalo, our Texan commentator, Mr. Justin.
Oh, dear God. Yep. It was a long day. That wasn't rain. That was my tears, guys. That was my tears all through the game. Yep.
I mean, he had quite a while to recuperate from Thursday. For Jacksonville, we have Matthew Grief.
So this just in a few minutes ago from Urban Meyer's camp. This is a quote directly to AFC South Fan Battle that he, quote, did not have sex relations with that woman.
So. Well, it's funny that it's coming from his camp because I'm pretty sure there was a tent pitched.
Nice.
Yeah, two of them.
Listen, I know I'm in production tonight, but I had to jump on to say that was a freaking good one, John Hahn. I'm sorry.
We didn't even plan that out. It's just
sometimes fortune smiles on you.
Off the dome. And talk about fortunes, the only team that won today, the Colts. We got Mr. Brees, the new caller.
Listen. We waited to win just for this week because we knew everybody else would lose. So we got our moment of glory.
It was strategic.
We are now on the board, guys. We're now on the board, boys.
Oh, wow. Tied for second place.
Finally got that first win out of the system, huh?
Listen, Carson Wentz's his first win in 2 years.
Jeez, God, like. That is right. Holy shit. Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
We'll get to that more coming soon. Right now, let's go to league news. Let's talk about these injuries. We got Rob Gronkowski out, Jimmy G out. The Titans and the Colts both lost like 8 offensive linemen. It's plaguing the whole league, it seems like. So let's start off. What do you think is the problem? Not enough playing time, Bills, but what is it?
I feel like the lack of preseason play is starting to hurt teams, you know, not a get comfortable with your players standpoint, get comfortable with bubble. It's just get back into the feel of things, get into a rhythm, get into some sort of football shape, game shape. We're down to 3 preseason games now. You have an extra game to play this season. It's inevitable. Injuries are going to happen. There's nothing you can do to control them. And these guys are, you know, professionals. But I think, you know, resting players or, you know, even younger players or stars are resting or it's starting to hinder them heading into the season. I do think that does play some sort of role.
Matt Green, what do you think?
Sorry, you went out there for a second. What
do you think?
injuries.
Oh man, it's tough. I just read that DJ Chark is going to be out for the season most likely. So Hurry's kind of nailed it. I mean, it's a 17 week season. You know, people are still trying to navigate and figure that out. And then this was the first full off season for a lot of players. And so trying to navigate that as well. I don't know. It's tough though.
Well, and also a lot of teams couldn't, I mean, a lot of players, they did get to, you know, work out, but not football workout, if that makes sense. They weren't allowed to because of COVID, you know, rule. I think that plays a big factor. They weren't out there tackling. They weren't
conditioning.
Honestly, yeah, I was thinking about that too. Yeah. I think it's people's bodies aren't used to the tradition of the COVID off season to a regular off season again. You know what I'm saying? Like last off season, it was all virtual, literally no training camp, no nothing. Then they come back and now their bodies aren't used to the beating that they usually get in the preseason. So that also could be factoring in too as well.
And plus they didn't start actual training camp till what, late July, August, right?
Yeah, I think the July start time is kind of normal, actually, right?
Late July is normal.
I thought June was when training camp started back in the past.
No.
It's July.
I think the problem is not necessarily training camp. I think it's OTAs. That schedule is still kind of wonky when it comes to COVID. You know, it's still like semi-virtual, semi, you know, and then we have the whole shebang that we're not going to talk about, but I think a lot of that plays into that, and I think it might be until, you know, honestly, I want to say next year, it might be a couple of years before we truly get back to normal without any issues or anything like that. So I do think a lot of that plays into it. But yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate. I mean, we're always, like, again, we're always going to have injuries. We know this, right? But I do think a lot of what plays into what we are seeing is the unevenness of a regular offseason versus the COVID offseason we've had.
And jumping into this game that's happening right now, everybody's favorite quarterback in the whole NFL, Mr. Tom Brady, just surpassed Drew Brees for most yardage, correct?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a big – I mean, I know he's been in the league for 20 years, but –
David, didn't those two like go back and forth on this like last year too of like who was on top? This was inevitable.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
I think so for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, it swung back and forth for a long time. And like I believe like Drew Brees got a decent lead on Tom Brady. Now he finally like actually caught up to him again.
I mean, it was inevitable.
I mean, Drew Brees did it in a less amount of time. He's always got that.
True.
Especially from a quarterback that was supposed to be a starter anywhere. Everybody had him after that shoulder injury not being the same. So that was, you know, good to see. But, I mean, it's something that's a great, you know, feature to have. Nobody else has ever had that. I mean, it would be broken probably. Aaron Rodgers might have it, but.
Patrick Mahomes is going to obliterate that. Like, let's just be honest. Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to obliterate that record in like 10 years.
Justin Herbert might be right behind him.
Oh, dude. I won't make those declarations until they're anywhere close to it.
Patrick Mahomes is going to obliterate that record. I'm telling you right now.
I get what you're saying, but the way Patrick Mahomes is throwing, he's throwing almost 5,000 yards every
year. You never know.
You really don't, but if you take the trajectory of where they are right now and again, barring injury, right? Obviously, barring injury, they are on pace to obliterate that record.
Or retirement. So many of those things can change, though. Sure. I mean, like Andy Reid could, like, his coaching staff could end up moving on, retiring, this, that, whatever, and then you got a whole different scheme where it just doesn't work out for him, and then like you never know. Like I don't make those sorts of hyperbolic declarations until it's like conceivably within reach. And it's too early. I mean, he's young. You know what I mean? He's got plenty of time.
I get what you're saying, but sure. I don't think it's the scheme with Pat Mahomes. I think he's a Brett Favre type quarterback where he just throws the ball on will. So who knows? Well,
you know, go ahead. Patrick Mahomes, real quick. Patrick Mahomes is one of those QBs that did not work well in college, but works really well in the NFL. Because he was not a very good college quarterback.
He was okay.
I watched a lot of them.
I mean,
he was on Texas Tech, or Clemson, a team that would build around him.
Yeah, I mean, but Texas Tech is a pass-heavy offense. They sling the ball everywhere.
He had a lot of passing yards and a lot of touchdowns. He had a lot of interceptions too. So
yeah, fair. Yeah, fair.
But I mean, I get what you're saying, but he was all right. But before we move on to the most important part of the games, if you heard, we are sponsored by TPPN, and they are sponsored by DraftKings. And DraftKings is giving away all new free customers free shot at $1 million in total prizes with their first deposit. All you got to do is download the DraftKings app and use the promo code TPPN to receive $150 in free betting money. All you have to do is sign up. It's the official betting partner of the NFL. So, again, sign up, DraftKings, use TPPN. Don't be like Alex Perez and expect you to get free money. You have to make a deposit. So they're just not going to give you $150 for free. Doesn't work like that. So let's go to the AFC South.
I mean, they kind of are.
You have to deposit $5, at least $5. But
yeah.
Let's go to AFC South. Let's guy on the winning streak. Let's talk to Mr. Harish Nukala. Tell us about the game.
Yeah. You know, early it looked really ugly. You know, again, it's just kind of the same as the last 3 weeks. You know, Carson Wentz snaps the ball. Carson Wentz steps back for 1 second. Carson Wentz is hitting the floor. You look up, who's on the offensive line? Jillian Davenport's just having a fucking, you know, campfire out there while his defensive line guy is just running right by him, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, it's really weird. I actually didn't know. Jonathan Taylor's going off. You know, they're playing 3-man fronts and we're shoving the ball for it. What seemed like 80 yards a carry. You know, he broke off a 40-yard run really early. He averaged, I think, like 7.5 yards per carry today. So Jonathan Taylor is familiar. It was so weird. All of a sudden, I looked up and I was like, wow, Carson Wentz has some protection. Like, he threw a ball that was really nice. And then he did it like 2 or 3 times in a row. I was like, hold on a second. Something changed here. And I started looking at the offensive line, and Jillian Davenport was gone. And I was like, wow, it took us 4 weeks to figure that one out. So, you know, overall, it looked really good. Once we finally got a lead, this defense has not been very good all year. It's struggled all year. Many parts, our top core pieces have not been very good. And, you know, they struggled to start this game. That first drive for Miami, I was like, wow, they just let Jacoby Brissett just walk down the field. And then towards the end of the game, you know, obviously game was pretty much in hand, and there's just kind of nonchalant about stuff and just let the Dolphins just kind of drive down the field. But the defense, I think for the first time all year, played their best game of the season, minus those last two drives when the game was already out of reach. So listen, I found a stat earlier about Carson Wentz, and I'm not the biggest Carson Wentz guy. I never really wanted him on my team. I was a big Sam Darnold guy, as you guys know. I was huge on Sam Darnold. I wanted Sam Darnold really bad. But I found this stat that was interesting for the first 4 weeks of Carson Wentz's season this year and last year. So last year he was 930 yards, 4 touchdowns, 7 picks, and 16.3 quarterback rating. This year he's 920 yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, and 92.1 QB rating. Night and day from what he did last year. So, you know, for the Colts fans, they're like, well, Carson Wentz sucks. Carson Wentz this. Listen, the rest of the team has to elevate their game to Carson Wentz, right? Carson Wentz carried this team for 2 weeks and suffered 2 sprained ankles because of it. So if this team could just get healthy, everybody just kind of stands up and they play their role like this team knows how, this team's going to be just fine. Like, I've got no worries about this team. It's still really early. There's no need to hit the panic button. Carson's, hopefully his ankles will heal up, and this team's going to be just fine. I thought they played really well today. Just got to take this momentum and keep it going.
I agree with you. going to a team that didn't play really well today, didn't score no points at all. Let's jump over to the Texans-Buffalo game. Justin?
Ooh. Oh, man. So where do I start? Okay, so, Matt, you probably watched the game, too, as well. And after the interception, we were all hopeful that
I didn't watch the game. I watched a murder happen on live TV, but yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, yeah, that was kind of legal what they did to us. But, once we got the interception and we got us a fourth down on that first drive we had, and Cully made a stupid-ass decision to go for it instead of kick the field goal, I literally thought to myself after that play, we're going to get blanked. And it just naturally manifested itself, dude. It was literally everything I expected in this game to happen, but so much worse. It really was, man. It's just the poor kid, Davis Mills, looked like a third-round pick rookie that was not ready for the NFL yet. And that's what we got today, man. It was just mistake after mistake. I mean, just one after another. How many picks did he throw today? What, two or three? It had to be three. It's just like, it was quicksand, man. I mean, I don't know if you remember that part of the replacements when Shane Falk was like quicksand. It's just like another thing goes bad, then another, then another, then another, then another. It's just like that's we were stuck in quicksand all day, dude. It was, I mean,
I'm gonna try to do my best impression of Sam staying biased, but I do gotta say this wasn't all Justin Mills' fault. Play calling was terrible.
Oh God, yes.
And it's a top three defense, and bad rain weather, and yep. No rookie was gonna survive that.
No, it was just the environment and just how crazy those Buffalo fans are, man. Like it's just.
That's not a tough place to win at.
No, it really is, dude, because those fans are crazy. And they were on his ass from the get-go, dude. It's when Coley did not decide to kick that field goal, he gave us absolutely no chance of whatever at momentum in that game. And it was from the get-go, just an ass whooping. Like, I was like, dude, like, this is going to get bad really quick. And I'm not going to lie, I'll give it to the defense. For, like, the first half, dude, to hold them in check on most of those, like, because come on, dude, that could have been 30-0 in the first half. To hold them mainly a lot of field goals and only give like one touchdown in the first half, I was actually impressed by what the defense actually did. It was just that they were on the field all day, and the second half, they were just like, fuck it, we're tired.
That's been that pretty much all season so far with Davis Mills.
Yeah, we need Tyrod Taylor back. It's not going to get any better until he comes back, y'all. Unfortunately, we have one more game. Luckily, that next game is against another rookie quarterback next week. So maybe we have a chance next week. But
we got
the Patriots.
Speaking of rookie quarterback, perfect. Matt played Thursday.
Trevor Lawrence.
Eli, yeah. So interesting game this last week. First overall versus first overall. Obviously, we got the bad end of the stick, and I certainly don't believe any victory unless you actually get the actual dub. So we're not going to talk about more victories, but I think the Jaguars are doing pretty good as far as progression. First week was garbage. Second week was less garbage, and we're just getting a little bit better each week. I think with our play calling, we're kind of starting to figure out some sort of identity. Still not sure exactly what it is, but they're handing it off more than once per game, which is nice. I think that's been, you know, our best player is James Robinson through and through. So I know that they wanted to get T-Law his throws in, but you got to play through your best player, and right now that's James Robinson. So they've been doing better at that. So that's helped out T-Law's game. And
I wanted to ask you a question. I said something to the guys after the game. To me, I feel like Urban Meyer is hurting Trevor Lawrence. Do you have that same feeling, or you think it?
Nah, we're only four games in. He's still trying to figure it out.
I just don't think he's letting him throw the ball.
No, I think he's throwing it too much, to be honest. I think he needs to be turning left or right and handing the ball off a little bit more. What's been cool is watching them do some of that RPO play, which has actually been really done really well. Trevor Lawrence doesn't have a whole lot of experience with that, so he's still trying to figure it out. But no, I don't think it's the coaching staff. I think everyone is still just trying to figure each other out, what they're trying to do. So a kicker, we got a freaking kicker that actually kicked it through the uprights, which was really nice. Matthew Wright, we pulled him off. I think we had him on the practice squad, or did we promote him? Either way, we had a new kicker and he kicked it through. And
are they open for trades?
Say again?
Are they open for trades?
I'm sure we'll be happy to sign our last kicker and trade him away for nothing. DJ Chark is out, unfortunately. That kind of sucks for the season. But next man up, right? So Laviska Shenault, who's been kind of a non-existent in the past three games, stepped up and he caught a few passes and made a pretty good impact on the game, I think. And as well as Jamal Agnew. So Jamal Agnew has been an all-star for the first couple games. And in fact, they're sending his cleats for the pick six or the kick six. His cleats are going to the Hall of Fame, Jamal Agnew. And he actually played a wideout for a couple of plays for this last week. And if I don't know if y'all saw, but you might want to look it up. He had some pretty awesome toe drag swag going on.
That one he caught right there.
Yeah.
It was on the 35-yard line or something.
So, yeah, right in the bucket. I mean, it was a great pass. Only he could catch it, but he had to put his feet down, and it was pretty impossible for non-athletic people. It was pretty awesome to watch him do that. So it's fun to watch Agnew come from the special teams, who's been he's doing his best. He's been our best pickup in the offseason, I think. Unfortunately, his success hasn't led to – any wins, but it was fun to see him on the offensive side. And Urban Meyer, of course, I guess we got to address it. There's a video circulating of him in a bar, I guess,
doing his best, living the best life now. There's a little
Duval. There was a female trying to talk to him about how his car insurance is up, and he wasn't paying attention very well. But we'll see what happens. Nothing's really come out from the team or him.
I seen a picture with her, him, and his wife. So, I mean, they're all right there together at the same place. So I think it was harmless fun. I don't think anything major is going to come out of it. But
as long as everybody's consenting adults, who cares, right?
Yeah.
I remind him, just a freak, you know.
For all we know, maybe his wife is like, yeah.
Maybe it was swingers night, you know.
It is not out of the realm of possibilities.
It's not our place. It's not our place to judge.
I mean, maybe it was her idea, and you saw how he's a little hesitant. Maybe he was scared, and you know
those Florida women, they're crazy.
Yeah. Maybe it's something new they're trying. Who knows? And he's just like to pin getting people used to and
everything.
So we'll see. People are spinning it some random ways. You know, they're saying this is going to be an out for him to be like, oh, you know, this is, you know, I need to step away from the game and 3 weeks later take the USC job. So I don't know.
Hey, honestly.
That's it for Jack.
Saving the worst for best or worst for last, I guess, right? Titans, Jets. Nobody thought it was coming to see this happen.
Yeah, at least we saw our ass from becoming man. Man, the Jets.
Our most positive Titans commentator.
Okay.
It's the most perfect person to describe this game.
Okay, so, I mean, the two receivers being out is massive. Massive. And I felt like I was a crazy person that nobody was really bringing up how big a deal that was going to be. It was always a side note. And I was like, do you have any idea how more difficult it's going to be to get open? Like, this defense, this Jets defense is not terrible. They're pretty decent. Would you guys agree with that? Like,
yeah.
They're off. Ooh. Like, the Jets defense. That's Jets.
Oh, no. That's
the league.
A good young defense.
So when you don't have a receiver that can get open in any type of coverage, it's going to make things difficult. The Titans' offensive game plan for the season is, you remember that old adage that like the best offense is a good defense? Theirs is the reverse. They want to have their best defense as a good offense. They want time of possession. That has been their MO. It's clear from day one. And they are accomplishing that. However, in this game, early on, when they get into the red zone, when you don't have a receiver who can get open, Derrick Henry is not going to be that effective. It's not going to happen. And we were getting field goals. We go up 9-0. And I said, this could be a problem because our defense is better than it was last year. But Zach Wilson, he's that type of quarterback, like the Kyler Murrays, like Russell Wilson's, these mobile quarterbacks, like Lamar Jackson, these guys always.
I think he found his groove today too.
Well, and that's the problem with it. Yep. It's like, if we're not getting touchdowns in the red zone, you're going to let this offense hang around enough, and it could be a backbreaker. And the momentum swung to a point. I mean, we were lucky enough to get in overtime with how terrible these receivers were today. And
man,
that was the problem, is that it's these two, like AJ Brown and Julio Jones being out is huge for this team. I was kind of worried about losing one, but losing them both is a really, really big problem. And it's really bad, especially given that this week and next week are supposed to be our easy wins before we head into the gauntlet of the five games after that, which are going to be a real monster.
Right.
So
plus, you know, having Bud Dupree,
I have to say that, like, and the offensive line struggles that we've been having this year, particularly on the edge, they've just been having this miscue. Ryan Tannehill is getting knocked around.
Did he get sacked seven times?
Yes, here's the thing. I know you guys hate Ryan Tannehill, but this guy is tough. This guy is getting beat up, and he is still flinging the ball and making passes where he can. Like, it is really difficult. I am really, really worried about his. I'm really worried about his longevity. You guys are worried about Derrick Henry getting all these touches. I'm worried about Ryan Tannehill getting knocked around all the time.
Is he playing on two sprains?
Right. Yeah, guess what? Your quarterback was playing on two sprains and we still couldn't touch him.
Yeah. Wrong.
That's the thing, is that
you couldn't touch him.
Yeah.
But that's not what I saw.
Ryan Tannehill is getting beat up back there. These are problems that you can avoid for the most part when you have a receiver who, like Julio Jones, is the pinnacle of a person who can beat coverages. So with him having a hamstring injury like this, issue like this, it's very concerning. And I know I'm always the sky is falling kind of guy, but it's not preemptive to worry like about it, especially given the tough schedule that we have coming up.
So were you happy that Corey Davis had a career day against y'all, or?
I'm indifferent to it. I don't care one way or the other. I'm upset that we lost the game. It's just like, he can have a career day and we win the game. Whatever. I don't care. It's just, I care more about the wins and losses. And you talk about the overtime. He missed the kick to tie. At that point, I was like, I don't really care about getting a tie or a loss at this point. I was like, we just conceded to trying to get a tie. I was like, okay, missed it. All right. Well, now we got a loss. Whatever. I wanted to win. Like, it's unfortunate. I think that we've got off to a really rough start with just miscues. On defense has been, is where people are focusing, but the offensive line miscues, like again, particularly on the edge, like there's been these tight ends when they stay into block are really having a hard time. And that Jets defense, I don't know. I just felt like I saw it coming with like, they just got like the perfect matchup against us with our injuries and like with their defense being the way they are. I feel like if we had at least one receiver in there, we could have implemented our game plan, which we seem to have been going with, which is just get at least a touchdown or two instead of these field goals and just play the keep away game, play the time of possession, because we've kind of cleared up a little bit of like these turnover issues. Ryan Tannehill didn't fumble it or at all. I don't think he had any picks. I'm trying to remember.
I don't think he had any.
I think we actually won the turnover battle for once. You know what I mean?
Don't talk to me about that.
Right. It's
don't talk to me
it's
about
just,
that.
Yeah. It's just, that's the problem with it. Like, what I feared is what came to fruition. And like, I didn't want to like get like too crazy because, again, I know how I am. I'm just that like, oh, we're going to lose every game. I over-exaggerate this sort of things, but like my worst fears came to fruition and I felt like I was crazy because I was the only one seeing it and nobody was saying it. So I said, oh, maybe it's me. I don't know. But it then it happened. So I was, it just feels worse somehow. Dang. I don't get to say I told you so.
I mean, your best receiver was Josh Reynolds today out there. That sucks.
No, our best receiver were our two running backs. Jeremy Nichols and Derrick Henry were our best receivers. Yeah.
Welcome to being a Colts fan.
Because we just kept doing those stupid little dump off passes, those check downs. That's what we kept doing. And well, that's what we had success.
Yeah. That's what you had to.
It just gets so hard to score a touchdown in the red zone when you don't have a receiver and Tannehill has virtually no time because the pass rush is coming and your receiver needs at least 8 seconds to get open. Like, it's a disaster. No wonder you get sacked 7 times.
So you'll probably understand this because, you know, you were grown with this thing called a brain and you actually like tend to use it. So, you know, as a Colts fan, you know, we always talk about depth and, you know, how important, like, you know, we have some skill positions and, you know, we have certain positions that we rely on, and when they go down, we struggle. Right. I think the Titans finally saw that this year. You have depth at the wide receiver position, but when players get injured and key players get injured, depth goes away. Like, you no longer have it, right?
Yeah, it's like, well, we had the depth until the two guys go out. You know what I mean? We had two Pro Bowlers, but when they both go out, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, we're dealing with the same thing. We have 3 Pro Bowl offensive linemen now, and a 4th just got hurt today. So, yeah, we have a really deep offensive line, but when you're 4 Pro Bowl, and one of them is a 2-time All-Pro every freaking plays, like, it goes away, and it does have some impact. So, you know, I think – again, I was telling somebody this earlier, and I was just like, look, the Colts and the Titans are going to be just fine. They just need to get healthy.
They just need to get healthy. Ours is kind of dependent on injuries, but again, we're going to be just fine. Yeah. It's like, okay, we would have been just fine had we got a win today and a win next week, because then we can afford to lose to the Bills, the Chiefs, hopefully beat the Colts, and then lose to the Rams and Saints after that. Because now it's like, oh boy, we could get ourselves in a big hole that we can't dig ourselves out of early.
Right. No, I mean, but, you know, it's just the way the schedule falls, right?
Yeah, so and again, you get the injury problems too. It's hard. Yeah. You know? I tend to ramble and I forget what I say. I know you guys hate Tannehill, but that guy hanging tough, man. Give that guy some props for.
It's not that we hate Tannehill.
We just say how people boast about your
fans. Oh, okay. But I'm just saying, can we give him some flowers? Because I think he has really performed in a way that people did not expect.
He's played outstanding. He's played as soon as fans make him out to be the next Peyton Manning.
He's never going to be that guy. Like, but he's playing like better than anyone would expect.
And we'll give him credit for that. Yeah. We will, but he's not Peyton Manning.
As soon as I hear a Titans fan give Carson Wentz for balling out on two springs today, I will give Ryan Tannehill
credit. If I had watched the game, I would give you credit.
Unfortunately for me, I only watched one quarter of the Jets. I can't give any credit because Ryan Tannehill kept falling on his ass.
Right. Was it a Jonathan Taylor game, or was the Carson Wentz really like?
Carson Wentz had a 115 QB rating today. He had 2 touchdowns, no picks, like 250 yards. He was solid, like 75% completion percentage. Like, he was good today. It comes down to health, right? It doesn't.
It's rough.
Once you can talk about depth all you want, but once you start getting hurt, your depth is no longer relevant. No.
Right? I mean, even with the depth, it's like that whole week prior. You know, who's getting it? When is the injury? Who's getting the reps with the ones? If the person gets injured in the middle of the game,
if
your backup is stellar, I mean, your game plan, he wasn't in the game plan, you know?
Chemistry
is a big part. People don't talk about it, but chemistry is a big part of football. If you don't gel right, you know, it's not going to work.
I mean, yeah, of course. We've seen this many times. I mean, dude, all these talented teams, they end up being dog shit because none of the players like each other. You know?
I mean, San Francisco is the prime example of it last year.
Exactly.
Yep. Oh, God, yes, yes.
Yeah. And this year, too.
Hell yeah, well, they could. Yeah, they could be ahead that way.
Yeah, they keep getting injuries like no other. Well, guys, before we head off, Anyone got anything else to say?
Teddy B, he got out for concussion. We missed that one.
That's right.
Drew Locke went in and just stunk it up.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was good.
Did he?
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh. So, wait, Teddy B got hurt again?
Yeah, concussion. Yeah.
Jesus. Okay. See, you see what I mean? Like that Denver Ravens game was close for a while.
Yeah.
It was close until So
Teddy again, B got hurt.
Yeah.
And then just to clarify, I think with the Urban Meyer thing, I don't think his wife was there. He was in Columbia. He was in Ohio because we were playing at the Bengals, and I think he left his family back in Florida.
There's a picture on Twitter, and his wife's in there and with the same blonde. So I don't I don't know.
Maybe it's
not his wife and he's swinging with another woman. I don't know, but yeah.
Maybe it's a traveling nanny. But they forgot the kid.
She was looking after something.
You got to massage the heart so don't have another heart attack, you know? All right, be on standby. Well, before we head out, where can you find everybody? Matt, where can we find you at?
I'm at Matthew G Sports on Twitter.
Harris, what about you?
I am at the Uncle Gandhi on Twitter and everything else in life.
Mr. Agent Hall. You don't have one.
Yep.
You don't like the NSA. And what about you, Justin?
Oh, so you can find me on Facebook as Justin JP Palmer. You can also find me at Porch South Sports on YouTube as well.
Awesome. And you can find us at AFC South Fan Battle Podcast everywhere. AFCSFB on Twitter. Again, we are on the Pigskin Podcast Network. And DraftKings is giving $150 free with your first deposit if you enter TPPN. So until next time, everybody have a good night.
Real quick, one more thing before we leave. Just because it's Sunday before the week of the game, it is 9:11 p.m. and OU still sucks.
Yes, they do.